Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoorah! I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thanks for joining us. The Colonel's on vacation this week, down south someplace sunny and warm, but he's promised to bring back some springtime when he returns next week. I'm going to hold him to his word. Lately, the Colonel has been giving us some of his favorite quotes, so I'll give you one of mine. It's by Sir Edmund Burke. All evil needs to succeed is for good men to do nothing. And I believe that's true. And if you believe it too, then stand up with the Colonel and I in the months to come, and let's do some good things for our country. Helping out with the show today is my 16-year-old son, junior co-host Cedar Coriel. Thanks for helping us out today, son.
Hey, everybody.
Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Noncom, I'm going to discuss the America that most of us grew up in. Does it even exist anymore? Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Author Scott Powell will be talking about his great book, Rediscovering America. Then we'll be speaking with Concerned Veterans for America with John Burns and Roseanne Rodriguez. And we'll also discuss the Veterans Administration with Vanessa Votberg-Harris.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. I'd appreciate it if you would also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Noncom on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Cedar?
As Russia marches on its warpath, encircling Ukrainian cities and bombing civilian buildings, the Pentagon has deployed some 12,000 troops to NATO member nations within spitting distance of Ukraine, a massing of infantry, aircraft, and tanks not seen since the Cold War. President Joe Biden has vowed those troops will not fight for Ukraine, instead framing their presence as a warning to Russian President Vladimir Putin that any advance past Ukrainian borders and into NATO's territory would trigger direct conflict. Nearly 5,000 troops with the 82nd Airborne Division serve as the largest component of the U.S. combat power in Poland, training with Polish forces and available to provide humanitarian assistance as more than 1 million Ukrainians have fled their country. Next week, a group of 300 additional, mostly administrative soldiers will deploy to Germany and Poland out of Fort Knox, Kentucky. Another 7,000 troops, many of them from the 1st Armored Brigade, Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division, are also trickling into Europe. The rapid mobilization triggered the Army to draw from stocks of vehicles and armor already stationed on the continent. That cachet includes M1 Abrams tanks, Bradley fighting vehicles, Paladin artillery systems, and other heavy combat vehicles and gear. Last week, 800 paratroopers with the 173rd Airborne, based out of Vicenza, Italy, deployed to Latvia. In addition, the Pentagon moved at least 8 F-35 Joint Strike Fighters from Germany closer to NATO's front line. At least 32 AH-64 Apache helicopters were also repositioned from Germany and Greece to the Baltic region and Poland.
Well, the war in Ukraine drags on, and the million-dollar question on everyone's lips is this: will America go to war with Russia? Let's hope and pray that it doesn't come to that.
A Russian lawmaker made an outlandish demand over the weekend that the United States return Alaska and a historic settlement in California, in addition to paying reparations to Russia over crippling American-led sanctions that have put Moscow's economy in a tailspin. A member of the state Duma outlined on Russian state television a set of demands for the U.S. and Ukraine after Kiev's demilitarization is completed. The Express newspaper in the United Kingdom reported, the demands include the return of Alaska, which the U.S. purchased from the Russian Empire in 1867 as a part of the Alaska Purchase, and the former Russian settlement of Fort Ross, California, 90 miles north of San Francisco.
In the fog of war, the most outlandish statements are often made. Here is my outlandish statement. Russia, if you want Alaska, then come and take it. In the immortal words of King Leonidas, Malone Labe. In other words, the Russians can have Alaska, but they'll have to pry it from our cold, dead hands. And I don't see that happening anytime soon.
The U.S. dollar may be on its way out as the global reserve currency. Saudi Arabia is actively engaging in negotiations with Chinese officials to price oil sales to China in yuan instead of the U.S. dollar, the Wall Street Journal reported. If the two countries decide to conduct business using the Chinese yuan instead of the U.S. dollar, this could mean trouble for America's economy. Reportedly, the Saudi talks with China have been off and on for 6 years, but have recently begun to accelerate as Saudi leadership grows increasingly discontented with American security commitments to defend the country. The Saudis are unhappy with the lack of American support for their intervention in the ongoing Yemen civil war and over the Biden administration's renewed attempts to strike a deal with Iran over its nuclear program. Saudi officials are also reportedly uncomfortable with the Biden administration's ham-fisted withdrawal from Afghanistan last year. China currently buys more than 25% of the oil exported from Saudi Arabia. Should these transactions be conducted in yuan instead of dollars, those sales would boost the standing of China's currency and diminish the standing of the dollar. Around 80% of global oil sales are transacted in dollars. Saudi Arabia exports roughly 6.2 million barrels of crude oil a day. If the Saudis price even a fraction of this in something other than the dollar, it would mark a profound shift in the global economy's pecking order. Since 1974, the Saudis have traded oil exclusively in dollars after making a deal with the Nixon administration that promised security guarantees for the kingdom. In recent years, China has helped the Saudi kingdom domestically manufacture ballistic missiles, provided guidance on the Saudi nuclear initiative, and poured money into Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's pet projects. Whereas China's relationship with Saudi Arabia appears to be improving, America's relationship with the Saudi government is rapidly deteriorating.
In 1944, following the Bretton Woods Agreement, delegates from 44 nations formally agreed to adopt the U.S. dollar as an official reserve currency. Since then, other countries pegged their exchange rates to the dollar, which was convertible to gold at the time. Because the gold-backed dollar was relatively stable, it enabled other countries to stabilize their currency. This continued until President Nixon decoupled the U.S. dollar from the gold standard. Most economists believe the U.S. dollar will remain the world reserve currency, but why take an unnecessary risk? For me personally, I decided to buy some silver as a hedge against inflation. You should do what seems right for you and your family.
The storied aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk, a ship that served from Vietnam through the Second Iraq War, is heading for the scrapyard. The ship, which began its final sea voyage in January, will arrive at a Texas shipbreaking facility in May. Throughout the carrier's 48 years of service, it not only saw countless battles and missions, but also a collision with a Soviet submarine and a race riot. But the ship was also a relic of a bygone era. Fueled by oil instead of nuclear power, the carrier was the last of its kind in the Navy's arsenal. Toward the end of the ship's life, the Kitty Hawk Veterans Association tried to get the carrier turned into a museum, despite the fact that the Navy noted the Kitty Hawk was, quote, eligible for a listing in the National Register of Historic Place. In its evaluation in 2010, the Veterans Association said it was told the ship was not available for a donation hold, the first step a decommissioned ship takes in becoming a museum. The 1,047-foot-long ship was launched in 1960. It was named after the area in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, where the Wright brothers made their historic flights in 1903. When the ship deployed to Vietnam just a few years after its launch, it quickly distinguished itself, earning a Presidential Unit Citation, a unit award that is considered the equivalent to a sailor earning the Navy Cross for its actions between December 1967 and June 1968 during the fierce fighting around the Tet Offensive. A Navy history of the ship noted that Admiral John Hyland, in presenting the award, said that the ship is recognized in professional circles as having been on a Yankee station during the toughest part of the war and against the most heavily defended area in the world. The ship launched 185 major strikes, 150 of them against North Vietnam, hitting the Hanoi and Haiphong areas 65 times. Now with 25 deployments firmly behind it, the Kitty Hawk is destined for the recycling yard. In a January Facebook post about the ship, the company contracted to turn the carrier into scrap said it plans to have challenge coins minted from the remaining brass on the Kitty Hawk, as well as save some small sections of the ship for veterans.
Frontlines of Freedom salutes this intrepid ship and all who served on her. The Kitty Hawk is a part of our military heritage, and though her service is done, her memory will live on through the annals of history and through all who served aboard her. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cv4a.org. That's cv4a.org. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel coming up on Frontlines of Freedom. I'll share comments by the non-com, then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with author Scott Powell. At ease, troops, take a break.
The VA frequently denies veterans disability benefits for PTSD. Barry Law has been helping fellow veterans with PTSD fight for compensation for over 20 years. At Barry Law, we've spent decades building a team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees to provide veterans with maximum firepower when appealing VA decisions. To appeal your decision, visit PTSDLawyers.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. I'm often asked, at what age should you start teaching your kids about guns? There's no magic age, as all kids are different. The most important thing is to teach them gun safety. Teach them never to touch a gun unless mom or dad are supervising. And always keep your guns locked up in a quality gun safe where kids can't get to them. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers, and it's good. I eat and love this food. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. And now it's time for comments by the non-com. If you are a longtime listener, then you probably already know a lot about me. You know I have a wife and 7 kids and 15 grandkids. You know that I served as a radio operator in the Marine Corps, and you also know that I've written 19 books, most of them apocalyptic fiction. My last published novel was titled The Mad American. Here's the backdrop to the story. In the novel, America is in the second term of a very weak administration. The president is suffering from mental frailness, and sometimes he slips into a fantasy world where he wanders around the West Wing searching for an invisible barking dog. Sensing America's weakness, Russia, Iran, China, and North Korea all conspire to attack America simultaneously. Russia and China ditch the dollar and form their own reserve currency. North Korea launches nukes on the West Coast. Iran explodes a half dozen suitcase nukes on the East Coast. The end result is all-out nuclear war. The apocalypse. The end of the world as we know it. Thank God it's only fiction. Right? I began writing that story 2 years ago when Donald Trump was still president. It wasn't real. It was just fiction. A story. A figment of my own imagination. Something like that could never happen, right? Right? Hello? Is anyone out there? Someone argue with me, please. I don't want to be right on this one. I don't want America to fail. I don't want this silly story of mine to come true. When I look back on my life from its beginnings in the 1950s to the turmoil of the 1960s, the race riots, the anti-war protests, the assassinations, then on to Watergate and the drug-infested and intellectually vacuous 70s and 80s, I can't help but think, wow, America, look how far we've fallen. The America I grew up in, the one I was so proud of, the one I joined the Marines to fight for and defend, is it still there? Does it even exist anymore? Or is it just another piece of fiction, a figment of my own overactive imagination? Or maybe it only exists in the hearts and minds of other old people like myself. I read a headline this morning on Fox News that went something like this. Poll says Democrats don't believe America is worth defending. I hesitated upon reading that and thought, That can't be true, can it? But then, after thinking about it, I realized that it could be true and probably is. After all, isn't that what the last three generations of children have been taught in our public school system? America was founded on sin. The founding fathers were atheist or deist, whose only core value was selfish greed and slavery. I think it's high time us older folks stood up to the intellectually elite and set the record straight. America is worth defending. It wasn't founded on racism. It was founded on a core set of values that declared that all men are created equal, that everyone is endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I look around me right now. I read the headlines. I talk to people on the street, and I see a very unhappy America. In my novel, The Mad American, the main character hosts a radio talk show where people call in and vent their anger and frustration. They talk about what makes them mad, and the host lends them a sympathetic ear. His name is Marvin Tubbs, and Marvin always opens the show by saying this. This is Mad Marvin, and you're listening to The Mad American Show, where we battle toxic anger and repressed feelings all across America, from sea to shining sea and every place in between. If you're angry about anything, about your dog pooping on the carpet, then you've come to the right place. If you're mad at politicians, then I'm here for you. If you're even mad at God, then I'll lend you a sympathetic ear. But one thing's for sure, folks, you need to let all those hostile feelings out in a productive way. Don't let feelings fester. Now, I'm not sure Mad Marvin is on the right track here. I suppose it's a good thing to let out all the toxic anger in a productive way, but I don't know. Rather than just sit around and complain about what you don't like about America over and over and over again to your friends, to your neighbor over the fence, to the guys at the diner over a cup of coffee, wouldn't it be better to get out there and actually make a plan and do something active to actually change America back to what you think it should be? I don't pretend to have all the answers. After all, I'm just a dime store novelist. But I do know that words are cheap, and unless they're backed up by action, then they mean nothing. And here's something else I know. The America I grew up in is worth defending. And right now, defending America means speaking up when someone tells a lie. America was founded on solid values. But America has lost its way, forgotten who she really is. And if us Americans don't find our way back to the beginning, then the whole world will suffer for it. And those are my comments for today. This is Marine Vet Skip Correa. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom now with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Well, Skip, over the past 10 years or so, there's been a lot of discussion about modernizing our country's nuclear triad. It should go without saying, but it needs to be said that America's nuclear forces are the bedrock of our nation's security and key to preserving global stability. But let's face it, our nuclear enterprise is old and is in need of some modernization. While we as a nation are working on these modernization efforts, Russia is developing and deploying next-generation nuclear weapon systems. And China's in a breakout with indications they may be doubling their nuclear stockpile over the next few years. So while these developments might serve as an obvious warning to many about the need for the U.S. to remain committed to its own nuclear modernization efforts, there are also some who are quite vocal in arguing that we should be building down our nuclear forces and not recapitalizing. Now, I have to believe that with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, along with China's threats towards Taiwan and the buildup of their nuclear forces, the debate about modernizing the full nuclear triad has had to come to an end. Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall said, quote, "I think that sort of removes some of the arguments that maybe we should have a smaller nuclear deterrent, maybe without as many legs of the triad." So the Air Force is now likely to get that green light to move forward with programs such as the Ground-Based Strategic Deterrent Intercontinental Ballistic Missile System and the B-21 bomber. Russia's invasion of Ukraine was unthinkable to some in government just a few weeks ago, but it shows that war between big nations can still happen. And despite the Ukraine invasion, the Secretary of the Air Force says his priority is still China, 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 because for the past 30 years, that country has invested in creating a military capable of challenging the U.S. in every domain, including space. So if you believe that the bedrock of our national security is the strategic deterrent forces, which most in national defense do, and if you believe the world as we see it today is a dangerous and ever-expanding threat base, then we can agree that recapitalization of the nuke enterprise is absolutely essential in all three legs of the triad. For Frontlines of Freedom, I am Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Skip.
Thanks, Roland. As always, your wisdom astounds me. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll be speaking with author Scott Powell and his great book, Rediscovering America. Then we'll talk with John Burns and Roseanne Rodriguez from Concerned Veterans for America. All this is coming up. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, and do another 30, then stand at ease.
Attention all film club fans. The 20th annual Garden State Film Festival is available virtually March 28th through April 3rd. There's over 200 films from around the globe to see in all genres. Get your virtual multi-pass to see them all, or a 1, 5, or 10 pack. They are all available on demand March 28th to April 3rd. Visit gsff.org. That's gsff.org to learn more and to get your tickets today.
From ending our nation's endless wars, to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Troops, please do send us your comments and questions. Email us through frontlinesoffreedom.com. And now it's an honor to welcome to the show author Scott Powell. Scott, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom.
Skip, it's really a pleasure, and it's an honor, actually, and you do great work for your audience. So,
well, thank you, Scott. Scott, I've been looking at your book, Rediscovering America, and it sounds like it's just what the country needs right now. Everything's in turmoil, but your book is fantastic. Before we launch into that, please tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Scott Powell?
Well, you might say I've been around the block. I came of age after the Vietnam War, and of course, that was a war that was mismanaged, intended to push back communism, but we all know that the Vietnam War was very controversial, and in the end, it hurt our country, it hurt our stature, and it was demoralizing for us. And I was shaped by that culture. I decided to drop out of college at that time and travel around the world. I saved my money, and I traveled across North Africa, the Middle East, and got all the way to India and Nepal. And actually, that school of hard knocks, if you will, really prompted me to reflect on where I'd come from. And it was very clear that what we had in America and the way society worked, the efficiencies that were there, were much better than what I was seeing elsewhere in the world. So I had a bit of a reversal. And when I came back, I worked, I saved, and I started a career. But I also decided I needed to get my bachelor's degree under my belt. And I enrolled in a history class, an American history class, and it was a great experience, and it prompted me to decide that I really wanted to go full-time to school, and I did that. I was fortunate enough to get into the University of Chicago, which had a great books program, a course on Western civilization, so it was a great time of growth for me, and then I thought I'd start an academic career, but I recognized that academia was really dominated by liberal-minded people that I really didn't agree with, and that I'd best probably be an entrepreneur and pursue my own course. So I did that, but I've returned to public policy at the Hoover Institution and at Discovery, and now my work is really to help save the country.
And Scott, your book, it just sounds like it's here in the nick of time. The whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. Things are up in the air, chaos everywhere, and the world is on the brink. So it's timely. I'm glad you wrote the book. Now, we have some things in common, too. I love history. I love it quite a bit. And I also notice that you have some advanced degrees as well, correct?
I do, yes. And that was in my PhDs in political and economic theory So I've moved between these two spheres pretty well. And the writing that the Hoover Institution and Discovery Institute wanted me to do was primarily on public policy, economic public policy. And as I built relationships with editors around the country, and I always tried to place my work in the what they call the mainstream newspapers, because, you know, I didn't want to just preach to the choir. I really wanted to get these free market ideas, these traditional ideas, into the mainstream press, because those are the people that need to hear them. A few editors asked me if I'd ever written on holidays. As they approached a holiday, they thought, gee, that we need to have a holiday article. And I decided to take one of them up on it, and I really researched it thoroughly. What I found when I really came to understand the backstories of the holiday, it was really a very stimulating experience. And the article was very well received, and it was reprinted in a lot of different places. And then I decided to write on the next holiday. And the next year I did a couple of more. And over 4 or 5 years, I ended up writing on all the American holidays. And then my readers said, hey, you got to write the book. And I, you know, taking on a book project when you're trying to make a living and put food on the table for the family, it's not an easy thing to do, because it takes a lot of time and you don't really make money writing books. I deferred that, but then at the end of 2019, I think it was after Thanksgiving in 2019, I had this calling that I needed to write that book. And I decided to answer that call. So I started in January of 2020, not knowing, of course, what we were in for with the COVID pandemic, you know, the lockdowns, the stripping away of our constitutional rights, you know, the wholesale assault on our heritage, tearing down our statues and culture, the Black Lives Matter, Antifa revolution, urban revolutions that took place. So I realized that the book that I was then very well advanced in was a very timely book, and so it is, that this book is extraordinarily timely. And, you know, the main message of the book is that we have this amazing country with institutions that are really so well suited to empower people to be all that they can be, giving people freedom and opportunity. And it's crazy that we would want to throw this system out and replace it with what? I don't think the woke culture really knows.
Yeah.
But I know that our big problem right now is corruption, you know, ideological corruption and actual corruption of, you know, of people in our institutions, in our government. Mm-hmm. We've got to weed out that and get back to basics. We got to rebuild the media so that it can inform our population, our people, our voters, so they can make intelligent decisions. We have corruption everywhere, really.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're talking with author Scott Powell about his book, Rediscovering America. Now, Scott, you know, we've been talking about a lot of stuff here. What are some of the other institutions that you think have been screwing things up right here in America? Talk about that.
Well, our educational institutions, K through 12, the public school system, and of course, our universities have always embraced sort of avant-garde progressive ideas, and that goes back more than 100 years, really. You know, when you're an adult, if you're in higher education, you can maybe dabble with different kinds of ideas, but we don't want to indoctrinate young people. We need an informed population that can think critically.
Yeah.
And we've really taken that away from our young people. It's the public educational system is in the business now of indoctrinating young people and corrupting them, I might add. You know, the transgender, you know, sexual education is it's not consistent with who we are as people. I mean, we are created men and women, and sure, people have, they sometimes go through a phase in their life of perhaps a bit of fantasy or confusion, but by and large, people grow out of that and they move on. And most people, you know, you want to be comfortable in your own skin, and you can't change your biological sex.
Well, Scott, you just hit on one of my pet peeves there, public education. You know, my wife and I, we have three kids still at home, 16, 12, and 10. And we've been homeschooling them for 10 plus years now. My oldest son, he spent, one semester in kindergarten. We pulled him out. My wife quit her engineering job. And we've been homeschooling ever since. And I got to tell you, Scott, it's one of the best decisions that we have ever made.
That's great, Skip. That's terrific. I think, you know, the homeschool movement, if you will, is growing by leaps and bounds right now because of the corruption of our public school system and the recognition of that corruption by parents. I think that one of the benefits of the COVID lockdown was that parents were forced to see what their schools were doing.
Yeah.
And what they found is that they didn't like what the schools were doing. So we do have correctives in place in many areas of our problems, but it's not, you know, we can't turn the battleship around on a dime. It's going to take some time. Yeah.
You are so right, Scott. It's going to take a long time to get this job done, get America back on track. Well, there's a lot more to discuss with Scott about his book, Rediscovering America. So he's going to stay with us through the break. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many the colonel does. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
My fellow patriots, in these troubling times, it is more important than ever for us to take care of our fellow Americans. That's what Patriot Foods stands for, U.S.-only grown foods. When you make an online purchase, you are supporting a U.S. farmer and our great veterans every time. Don't mistake Patriot Foods for survival food. This is an American farmer brand. Visit patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today. That's patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel, and this is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with author Scott Powell about his wonderful book, Rediscovering America. We've been talking in the last segment about the public education system and how it's hurting our children. Have you been following at all the confrontations between the Virginia Board of Education and the parents? It just seems like parents are being treated like criminals.
Yes, I have. Yes. Nothing could depart more from our Constitution and the rights of the people than that. If that's not a clear example of the corruption of our government, I don't know what more you'd want to look for, because, you know, parents have a sacred right to oversee the health and welfare of their children. That's their job. That's their primary role. That's their blessing, really. And there's no way that government should ever preempt that or crowd that out in any way.
Yes, Scott, I definitely agree with you. It's one of the earmarks of a communist regime or a dictatorship. They take control of the younger generation and they separate them from the older generation, who is supposed to be molding and teaching those younger kids how to live and how to be free.
That's right. What we're really seeing is a communist revolution moving through America. I mean, it is really unbelievable. And most Americans, that's very hard for them to believe is happening. But if they open their eyes, they can see it. They can see the corruption in our government. They can see it on the local level in schools. It's almost like the government now, it's a government against the people. It's a government that's trying to take our country down, whether it's open borders or it's the economy, where once we had a energy independence and now we don't. And now we see the consequences of that in and highly inflated prices and dependency on, think about it, being dependent on Russia for oil right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not crazy, I don't know what is.
You know, Scott, it's like we're living in this alternate universe. You get up in the morning, you check your news feed, you look at the headlines and go, wow, this is absolutely crazy.
Well, one of the areas that we really need to focus on, of course, it is the electoral system and regaining, restoring electoral integrity, because our system is unique in that it is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And therefore, the people's, the integrity of elections is paramount for the people to choose and give legitimacy to the government.
Oh, you're right, Scott. It's been so frustrating for me to watch the last election. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with author Scott Powell about his book, Rediscovering America. Scott, when I grew up, the media were one of the good guys. They were responsible for keeping politicians honest. And now it seems like they've joined the swamp, and you can't believe anything that you hear on the mainstream news. And it's like they've become communist as well.
Yeah, it's incredible what has happened to our country. But, you know, in the midst of this darkness that we're passing through, the light is beginning to shine. We're having an awakening of the American people and a pushback, and that needs to gain more and more momentum because we're in charge. This is a nation of the people, by the people, for the people. And as the people get educated and enlightened about the corruption, they're not going to put up with this. We have to have honest elections. And I think we've made good progress since the 2020 election. But I think that, you know, eternal vigilance is really necessary. Look at our stature in the world. I mean, there are elements like our media that would not admit that we have that we had a fraudulent election. On the other hand, most of our foreign adversaries know that our election was fraudulent. And so they don't look at the Biden administration as a legitimate regime.
Yeah,
they can clearly see that it's a very weak government, and they'll take advantage of that. And that's why we have these problems. You know, the Constitution calls for a strong executive, particularly in challenging international times. You want a strong commander in chief. During the Trump years, we had relative peace because we had a strong executive.
Yeah, you're right, Scott. You notice that during the Trump administration, Russia didn't attack at all. They waited for the Biden administration, who signaled weakness, and then they invaded Ukraine. And now China is eyeing Biden and saying, what is America going to do? Can we invade Taiwan? Now, your book has a lot of positive things that we can do to help in this regard. Tell us about your book, Rediscovering America.
The book really, it's by the way, it's really written for busy people. It's not a traditional history book of a chronological who, what, when, and where. This book is a relatively short book at 200 pages, 14 chapters of short stories. And the approach of the book is to explain why, you know, why did things happen? And why was America founded the way that it was? Why did we become the world superpower in record time? 175 years, we went from poverty to a world superpower, economically, militarily, in every way. That's like a stock car going from, you know, 0 to 60 in less than 3 seconds. It's almost impossible. But all of that happened for a reason, and we all benefited from it. And the blessings that we've enjoyed and taken for granted of the past, they can continue, but only if we embrace the very values and virtues and beliefs that got us here in the first place. So the book is really designed to help people appreciate those. And what I identify in the book also are 9 qualities of character that all these transitional leaders had that enabled them to overcome impossible odds. you know, we get discouraged because we look at all our problems. I mean, we've only talked about a couple, you know, the educational system and the media, but there are so many more. I mean, the corruption in our system is pretty pervasive. So we sometimes feel this is insurmountable, but I would tell all of your listeners, get this book and read it. These problems are not insurmountable that we have. Our forebears actually overcome equally difficult problems, and they did that by having leadership that embraced these qualities of character and people that also embraced them. So, you know, one of the chief qualities of character is a belief and a reliance on God, that when things are possibly difficult, that is when we call on God, and we need to be calling on God as a nation. We need courage, we need persistence, we need resilience. And when we have these, our fortune goes much better. You know, we're living in, I think, clearly troubling times that have us on edge a little bit, but everything can change when we get grounded in those principles that and beliefs that built us and enabled us to get where we were. We want to return to those, not depart from them.
Scott, everything you're saying is spot on, and we at Frontlines of Freedom here, we agree with you. Before you go, Scott, can you tell all the listeners how can they get a hold of this incredible new book, Rediscovering America?
Well, the book is now out. It's a number one new release in history on Amazon, which is, it surprises me because it's just out and yet it's number one. It's been actually number one even before it was released. So the word somehow trickled out. You can buy it on Barnes & Noble or Amazon. I think it's found in most major bookstores, but it's just a great read, and it'll change your life because you too will learn of these qualities of character that can enable you to be all that God intended you to be. And it's exciting. Life is exciting when you're aligned with principles that work.
Absolutely, Scott. Well, Scott, I want to thank you for writing this book. I know it took a lot of work. You did a great job on it, and I think it's real important that our listeners get out and get this book. So thank you for being on the show today, Scott. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour with John Burns, the Education Director for Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll talk with Roseanne Rodriguez, who is the Strategic Director for CVA. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed American Report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain, and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com and save 20%. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.